This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Thursday to you. John Lopez, Reginald Atula, Figgy Fig. Yesterday was OTA's day one. OTA day two going on there at NRG Stadium. No public access to that, though, so we're not getting much insight to it.
I know.
They're practicing all their secret stuff.
Yeah.
Because you don't want these other teams to see what they're doing.
They get the annexation. They're installing the annexation of Puerto Rico. Yes. And the fumble Ruski getting in there. What is there? Is there a trick play that you really want to see from this Texans team?
Oh, that's a good question.
While you think about that, I offer this as some level of like, this is the information that I can give you from the Texans, even though I can't give you like what's happening out there at NRG, Figgy. And I see this person, Sam Warren of the Houston Chronicle. The Texans have released their official preseason schedule, so we know what times these games are. So Saturday, August 9th is when they'll get game one versus the Vikings at 3 p.m. So it's a 3 p.m.
That's not a home game, so that's cool.
Yeah, that's not a home game, but the home game that you will have is the second preseason game. That's the 16th against the Panthers at noon on that Saturday.
Ooh, it's going to be hot.
It's going to be hot out there, baby.
Buddy. That's what I was thinking. I was hoping it was like a later game, like a night game.
Nah.
Ooh, it's going to be hot, man.
And then you'll get the Lions game in the third one, and that'll be in noon.
Good luck to the tailgaters out there, man.
Yeah. What you mean out there? Like, you're not going to be out there. You better be out there.
I'm just going around. I'm talking about the people that got to set up and cook.
And over the fire. Ain't no problem. Tailgate. Aiden is a way of life.
Ooh, man.
Is
a way and of life is on the preseason game.
Yeah.
So, but
August.
Woo.
That's right.
I'm saying that because I did it before. I did it a couple years ago. It was so hot.
I can't wait.
Yeah. What about the Texan special?
Okay, so you have the name. I forget that you just love names. What is the Texas special? Actually,
the
you know
Philly
what?
Special, but a Texans version.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Who's throwing the football then? All right. I love what we're doing here.
Joe Mixon.
Oh, yes. The Texan special.
I like what's happening here.
That's what they're practicing right now.
That's right. Even though Joe Mixon not at OTAs. All right. But speaking of OTAs, we did hear from a few players yesterday, and I thought there was some interesting stuff, namely from Azeez Al-Shaair. Like, I think Azeez came into a national spotlight last year, as we all know, after that that game versus the Jaguars.
What'd he do?
I mean, I thought he made a good hit.
Game, right?
I thought he made a good hit.
He was balling his ass off.
He was.
Then what happened?
He was balling other things off of other people's bodies as well, it seems like, because that's the way that it was talked about.
I think he got a little upset about something.
I think so.
I think Ray Lewis used to say that he going to knock people's necks loose, which is an incredible threat. Like, one of my favorite threats of all, I'm going to knock your neck loose. Like, that's just so vivid.
And if you had that baby neck going.
If you let the NFL.
Mom's got to hold it up from the back.
Right. If you let the national NFL. Media say they talked about it like Azeez knocked Trevor Lawrence's neck loose, but I mean, he getting to hear more from him has like really spoken to his leadership, and that was one of the things that he talked about after OTA's day one. This is actually cut 15 here, Figgy. Azeez was asked about how much his background with D'Amico Ryans helps his signal calling and such, and I thought it was very introspective and insightful.
Yeah, I think it's big because, like I said, whenever you like get to stack, you know, more time with somebody, and I've known D'Amico since I've been in the NFL, so I think just more years under your belt, and then obviously now going into my second year with these guys, with this group, and the new guys that are coming along, it's exciting because you just feel like, you know, like if you got two chances to do anything, you feel like that second time is going to be better than the first. So I think that's the expectation for myself and for everybody in the building.
So that's more of like what the defense, like what the actual bolts, nuts and bolts of the defense. And I had not thought about the idea of like a progress, like an Azeez Al-Shaair progression, even from like, especially from like a mental side of the game. Like what does that look like to you? What do you think he's speaking to in that moment?
Well, look, he's been there. He's been there with D'Amico, and certainly, and we're going to hear what he had to say. This one, two of them really stood out to me. The next one, just more about the leadership and some of the things he does, but also when he's talking about Henry Toa and you know, the sort of, I guess, you know, teaching him and you know, helping him along the way last year. But the bigger thing for me when you listen to Al-Shaair, you really start to feel bad for him because he's got a reputation. Like a bad reputation in the NFL. And I guess you can say somewhat deserved, you know, given, you know, the volatility that he's...
His propensity to toe the line and maybe step a little bit over at times.
And more than on one occasion, you know. So I get it. But this dude is exactly what the Texans have wanted for, you know, at least the first two decades of the organization. A class guy off the field. Has that edge, maybe a little bit too much occasionally on the field, but just a complete leader and gets the defense. And he's a bad dude that the Texans, frankly, for years, you know, they were always called a bunch of choir boys and all that.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think I kind of feel bad for him that reputation is, while it's somewhat deserved, it's not altogether deserved and unfair.
As the czar, as the pope of bad nicknames, what do you think about controlled aggression, controlled chaos? Because it feels like that's what you are. You've been ordained. I hope you enjoy that and you know, bask in its powers and its glory. But it does feel like that's what he is. Like, he's controlled chaos in that, like, you want to be able to unleash that aggression, that chaos, but when he needs to, right? He's very, very clear about all those things. Like, do you, but I do want to circle back around to the idea of like the notion of growth within him. Cause I did not, like, you talked about all those things and it felt like we could see those last year. And it's like, yeah, this is perfectly what you want. But he here is talking about the ways in which year two is a step up over year one. And I honestly almost can't even imagine it unless we're talking about like him becoming a better coverage guy, like the A32 was talking about. Will he be better at covering tight ends? And I don't know if that's something that is some to be expected at this point of his career, but like the mental part of making sure there are no mistakes from not just him, but the entirety of the defense that he kind of helms. It feels like there wasn't that many of those from his purview either.
Yeah. First of all, what you said really hurts me inside.
Hopefully the outside too. That's what I was going for.
But to your point, he's not going to become a better. I mean, that's the gripe. He's not going to become better in coverage. It's just not going to happen. I don't think it's there. What he can do, and we heard it, and we're about to hear some more, is really get not just what D'Amico is, but what this team is. Like, he really understands what buttons to push. They understand him, and that's the growth. That's the growth. It's not just like, hey, he's a leader, do what he says. They get each other. There's a better connection there.
713, what about Cushing? Was he a choir boy? No, but I think he might have been a little bit unwieldy at times. But yeah, I hear what you're saying there. But this is what you're talking about here when it comes to Aziz, and this is one that very much circulated on Twitter because, I mean, you hear someone talking these ways. We were talking a little bit earlier with B. Scott and Seth about the notion of Will Anderson Jr. and hearing him talk. I kind of got a different but similar feeling when I heard Aziz Al-Shaair talking about this, how he learned his way to becoming an NFL pro and a veteran.
Like, when you go through one side of it, well, like I said, as a player, somebody's talking to you a certain way. Like, I grew up a certain way, and I didn't have my father in my life, so I genuinely struggled to, like, deal with male figures and taking, like, authority in that way. So I think, as I figured that out on my own and, you know, going to therapy and dealing with my own issues as a young player, especially like with me and D'Amico, that's how our relationship was just always like headbutting until it got to that point where you realize, like, why is this person talking to me like this? Why? What are they trying to relay to me? And you kind of just able to process all those things and then come up with that solution to realize this person's trying to help me. Their message is just being relayed this certain way, not taking it so personal. And then as I figured that out for myself, you know, and I became more of a leader in my own right, I just made sure that I carried that same message that I felt to the people around me, because like I said, everybody is different and I have no clue sometimes. You know, you go to work, you know, God might have just lost, you know, his child, or maybe something happened at home, because we all go through things. So I think it just challenged me to be more considerate and more mindful of other people because I was thinking about how I felt.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
First of all, I mean, how do you not love that guy? All things considered, especially if he's on your team. But secondly, that speaks to what I was talking about. I think he, the growth that he has, and he's obviously been a mature guy, you know, for years now, but the growth that he has in the context of his role and in the context of taking the coaching. They always talk about, you know, great players really, really do want coaching. He's grown into that. And I think he also understands, you know, how to read people and what buttons to push on other people, his teammates in particular.
Who do you think that's going to stand to benefit the most from? Because it feels like we've already seen places where it's benefited. It's funny because I almost feel like I'm being negative here, and I apologize if that is the way that this comes off, but I'm like, it feels like we've already reaped so much of the benefit of this that I'm almost trying to find the way of how does this even get better? Like, I have been so pleased with what he has brought to this team. And he seems to be in a place where he believes that there is more to be wrung out of this. And I'm still trying to find where are the areas that you get even better here, because I've been so impressed by not just his play, but how he has affected the entirety of this defense.
I think we've seen it. We saw it last year. What if Henry To'o is better than good? You know, that's the guy that's right next to him. And he talked about the growth that To'o had from year one to year two was exponential. I mean, it was just more than he said he had himself. And what if that's another step, you know, another step with him? I think that's where that could maybe be the biggest impact. And maybe Christian Harris. I mean, although his might be more physical.
Yeah, I was like, the Christian Harris thing, it feels like it's a physical thing that's holding him back. But maybe once you get him onto the field, do you see an even better version of Christian?
Yeah.
Because of his, you know, ability to work off of Aziz. And I mean, D'Amico is a teacher, right? I think that's one of the things that I love about him as a coach, is that he seems to be able to impart his message in a way. He seems to be, very empathetic to his players. And that, I think that creates a pathway where you can get your message across and have it land and be more fruitful in planting those seeds. And it feels like Aziz is like that consummate general on the field that has all of those similar tendencies. Mm-hmm. And dare I say, might be getting himself to a place where he might do it better.
Yeah. You know, I wonder, as crazy as it was, I wonder if he's even grown from last year's
incident
or whatever you want to call it. Keep in mind, you know, he was such an impactful player. He missed six games. He missed three early, then he missed three with a suspension, and was just, you know, a monster in terms of tackles and leading this team. And oh, by the way, I came across this morning. In the games in which Aziz Al-Shaair played, the Texans were 8-3. 8-3 in the games in which he played. That's leadership. That's what a defensive player's standout can do.
Yeah, I think his impact cannot be overstated, I think, with what this defense is. And like the fact that this defense has fully embodied the mantra and the mentality. Mm-hmm. I know that people get tired of saying swarm, but I think when it works, when it hits this hard, it feels like that's a huge part. And I think that we're getting to a place where, like, yeah, 8-3-2. If we're being honest, Aziz is really D'Amico's work son. And I think that, yes, that is absolute case. I mean, he talked about it. He started talking about, like, father figures in that space. And I don't know if he would want to get specifically to that place, but it is easy to very much see Aziz kind of talking about D'Amico Ryans and seeing that authority figure, at least before I get too far in putting him as a father figure, and how, you know, how that trust is there. And it feels like that connectivity between the clear defensive mindset that D'Amico has, the genius that I think we can maybe put him as, and the ways in which that pathway into getting the actual results on the field shows up through Aziz. Obviously, Will as well. I think Petrie is another one of those guys that you'll talk about. But Aziz seems to be like the main conduit to make sure that there's a level of accountability and held up to the standard. And I think that he is one of the main reasons why you take all these parts, and I don't want to call them disparate, but all these very good parts, and then they form together like Voltron in what I think is a campaign to be a historic defense this year.
I think we're all, you know, fingers crossed with that. I think they have all the elements of doing that. And I also think, you know, we talk about what Will Anderson can do. We've talked about it here. You know, what if he has the 13, 14, 15 sacks or more, and what it could do. But I think it starts with Aziz. I mean, I think it all starts with Aziz. All of them, you know, Will Anderson's a leader, you know, just has D'Amico Ryans. But I think Aziz is sort of the conduit.
Especially because of the maturity that's displayed. And I mean, just these answers alone. I mean, hell, think about when we got these answers.
Mm-hmm.
Day one of OTAs. Exactly. Like, this is not one of the, like, the idea that he's able to probe the depths and give yourself, mm-hmm. give you introspective answers to this point on questions that, again, I think that have been pretty damn good. But, like, I mean, it's not like they were out here in a Barbara Walters interview. And I realized that that's a little bit of a data reference as well. But he took it to that place because I think he is that mindful about this game. And so I am super intrigued to see what this defense does. From a dude who I think has been exactly what you need for this defense, has been incredible for it already, and seems to believe that there's another level to get to.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Somebody said, disagree on Aziz. He's such a liability in pass coverage that they think that we're building around, or actually, I guess, it got cut off, but they disagree with the pass coverage being such an issue for Aziz.
He's not great. But, you know, he's not great in pass coverage. Nobody's going to deny that. But I think the elements that he brings, and also the way that he's surrounded, and some of the players they brought in.
Yeah, I think the idea of having a perfect player there, I can understand why you get to that place. But I think what he brings, the physicality that he's able to engender, on top of like the accountability mm-hmm. and kind of being almost the CPU of the defense, I think that matters in a way that I probably value a lot more than, you know, if he was able to better cover tight ends, which mm-hmm. obviously you would like, but I much rather have this guy in that space. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We'll circle back around to Will Anderson because I think it's still very much worth hitting on some of the things that Will Anderson Jr. is talking about when it comes to how he has a jump in this 2025 football season. But there you go. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to our lunchtime confessions that are presented by the Men's Clinic. We always do them around this time, and we will do them next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.